Welcome to this special episode of Silly History. I'm Matt Pekarsky. I love funny stories, especially when they come from real life. I've compiled a long list of true tales that made me laugh, and now I want to share them with you. There's a lot of crazy stuff historical figures did or said, and yet we've never heard about them. History class would have been a lot more interesting with some of these sprinkled in here and there. Hopefully there's at least a couple of yarns you haven't heard before. In just a few minutes, we'll listen to a new one. But first, today's episode is in commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the start of Allied operations in World War II. The D-Day operation of June 6, 1944, brought together the land, air, and sea forces of the Allied armies in what became known as the largest amphibious invasion in military history. The operation, given the codename Overlord, delivered 5 naval assault divisions to the beaches of Normandy, France. The beaches were given the codenames Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. The invasion force included 7,000 ships and landing aircraft, manned by over 195,000 naval personnel from 8 Allied countries. Almost 133,000 troops from the United States, the British Commonwealth, and their allies landed on D-Day. Casualties from these countries during the landing numbered 10,300. By June 30th, over 850,000 men, 148,000 vehicles, and 570,000 tons of supplies had landed on the Normandy shores. Fighting by the brave soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied forces' Western Front and Russian forces on the Eastern Front led to the defeat of German Nazi forces. On May 7, 1945, German General Alfred Jodl signed an unconditional surrender at Reims, France. And now, a new silly history story. The Spanish Civil War thrust many a person into a conflict they had no desire to take part in. Juan Pujol Garcia was one such individual. He was conscripted into the military in 1931 and hated every moment of it. When his 6 months of obligatory service was complete, he went on to manage a poultry farm near Barcelona. When the war began in 1936, his sister's fiancé was taken by communist Republican forces. The Republicans later arrested both his sister and mother, accusing them of being nationalist counter-revolutionaries. Juan later rejoined the Republican Army and was treated so poorly he deserted to the Nationalist side during the Battle of Ebro in 1938. Their treatment of him was no better. He was even briefly imprisoned because of his open dislike of fascism. By the time he was discharged, Juan wanted nothing to do with either communism or fascism. When World War II broke out, Juan paid close attention to Britain's sole fight against the Axis of Evil. His admiration for the country grew as they fought against the two ideologies he viciously hated. It inspired him to make his own contribution, as he put it, to the good of humanity. But Juan wasn't a fighter. He bragged that, during the Spanish Civil War, he not once fired a single shot while serving on either side of the conflict. What he could do was spy for Britain. Espionage was an area of expertise in which he had no training or experience. But that didn't matter. He'd figure it out. Juan tried to contact British Foreign Intelligence, MI6, at their Lisbon and Madrid headquarters on 3 separate occasions, but each time he offered his services, they declined. But that wouldn't deter him from serving. For once in his life, he believed in a national cause and he wanted to devote everything to it. He would find a way to spy for Britain, and as he thought about his options, the light bulb switched on over his head. In contrast, the Nazis were pretty quick to accept his services as a spy. Juan convinced them that he was a Spanish government official and Nazi sympathizer, traveling to London on official business, and he wanted to contribute his efforts to the war. He showed them his diplomatic passport as proof of his identity, except it was a forgery produced for him by a local printer, whom he had also fooled into believing he worked for the Spanish embassy. The Nazis weren't initially sure they wanted to say yes, but he seemed legitimate and he was eager to serve. They quickly trained him in the art of espionage, including secret writing, and sent him off to London under the instruction to establish a network of agents and provide the Germans with the information they wanted. Of course, Juan couldn't actually move to London. His visa was a counterfeit. Instead, he moved to Lisbon to remain close to the British. He still hoped he could prove his worth to them. In the meantime, he crafted a spider's web network of fake subagents. He sent comprehensive reports to the Nazis, using his trusty copy of The Blue Guide to Britain, a detailed travel book focused on art, architecture, and archaeology. He also referenced books and magazines he found at the local library, and newsreel reports he watched at the cinema. Exactly what the Führer was looking for. Juan's Nazi handlers were thrilled with the fabricated information he submitted. They didn't even notice when his mistakes were obvious. Once, he commented that the men in Glasgow would do anything for a liter of wine, wholly unaware of both Scottish drinking preferences and their unemployment of the metric system. Simultaneously, the British were intercepting Juan's reports to the Germans. Even they found them so convincing, they actually believed Juan was a serious threat. The British Domestic Secret Service, MI5, launched a full-scale spy hunt. Thankfully, Juan was located roughly 1,400 miles away and able to make contact with them via other Allied sources. After he revealed who he was and what he was actually doing, he made one final offer to work for them. This time, MI5 said yes and officially brought him to London in April 1942. Juan was paired up with Spanish-speaking officer Tomás Harris, and the two worked exceptionally well together. They invented at least 27 new subagents with full backstories, including a Venezuelan living in Glasgow, a U.S. Army sergeant who couldn't keep his mouth shut, and a Welsh nationalist leading a group of fascists called the Brothers of the Aryan World Order. They wrote 315 2,000-word letters back to the Germans in Madrid, who trusted the authenticity of every single detail. Thanks to Juan, who was given the codename Garbo in reference to actress Greta Garbo and his extraordinary acting skills, Operation Fortitude would become the strategic foundation leading to the Allied victory over Germany. The German High Command told Juan that they believed the Allies were preparing a large-scale invasion of Europe, and they wanted Juan to keep them updated. Unbeknownst to them, Juan and his Garbo agents were already planning a massive piece of deception. Beginning in January 1944, four radio transmissions a day, over 500 in total, were relayed between Garbo and Madrid. The information was then directly passed on to Berlin. Fake attack points surrounding the area of Pas-de-Calais in France were determined. A ghost army consisting of 11 fabricated divisions, inflatable tanks and vehicles, fake radio traffic, sound effects, and even phony generals, all under the command of General George S. Patton, were positioned to distract the German forces away from the real location of the invasion. On June 6, 1944, famously remembered as D-Day, the Allies successfully invaded Europe through Normandy. Garbo told the Germans that it was a diversionary invasion and to continue focusing their forces on Pas-de-Calais for the full onslaught. And that is exactly what they did all the way through August. It was the beginning of the war's end, and Juan helped ensure it. Juan worked for MI5 for a short while after the end of the war. Following a scare that he would be exposed, he fled to Angola. As an additional precaution, he faked his own death and retreated to Venezuela for nearly 40 years. He returned to Europe, to his wife and family in the 1980s. The greatest double agent of the Second World War officially passed in 1988. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please subscribe, give it a 5-star rating, and share with not one, but two of your friends.